in here right now. His name is Darnell. And we want to pray for him. He has some needs at this time, so we just want to bring him to the Lord in prayer. Brother Rich, would you lead us in a word of prayer? We'd like to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Book of Luke, chapter 7. We'd like to read verses 11 through verse 17. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, that is, the gate of the city of Nain, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, the casket, and they that bare him, carried him, stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, Arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, throughout all the region round about. We see, by way of background, in verse 11, it came to pass the day after. So immediately we have to ask ourselves, the day after what? And that, of course, would be the day after the healing of the centurion's servant. Now remember, a large crowd was following Christ at this time, and they're rejoicing. They're as happy as can be. They have received the news that the centurion's servant is whole. He has been healed. So these that were with Jesus, they're very joyful. They're filled with great hope. As they approach the gate of the city of Nain, that is the entrance into the city, there's another group of people. And this group of people, of course, is not filled with joy, not filled with hope. They're in a funeral procession, and they're headed for the cemetery. We see in verse 12, Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Just the opposite from the crowd that was with Jesus. These people are mournful. These people are filled with sorrow, perhaps questions, no doubt a wide range of emotions. So these two groups of people meet. And there's a lesson here. We see that this group that was with Christ, again, they're joyful, they're filled with hope. This group that was with this woman whose son has passed away and they're getting ready to bury him, they are filled with sorrow. And it's something that we need to remember, and that is when we're joyful, when we're filled with hope, there are those who at the same time are filled with sorrow. And vice versa. There are times when we may be filled with sorrow and others may be rejoicing. We can't be so self-centered as to believe that when we are sorrowful, that the whole world comes to a stop and everybody else is to feel the same way. Again, different things are happening everywhere. Some are sorrowful, some are joyful. This is part of life. And we see these two groups of people at the same time, and they meet each other, but again, completely different circumstances. Now, only Luke records this particular miracle, which was one of three resurrection miracles performed by Christ, the other two being the raising of the daughter of Jairus, and the other, of course, being the raising of Lazarus. So we have three. We have three miracles where Jesus Christ raised somebody from the dead. Now, when you look at these three miracles, when Christ raised the daughter of Jairus, she was still in bed where she had died just a few hours earlier. When Christ raised this son of a widow here in Luke 17, he's in a coffin and he's on the way to the grave. And when Christ raised Lazarus, he'd already been in the grave. And he'd been dead for 4 days. Now there's a lesson there as well. We see in each miracle where Christ raised the dead, there were varying lengths of time that these individuals had been dead. Now, that being said, whether you're dead 1 second or whether you're dead 10 years, you're still dead. There's no degrees to death. But there is a lesson here. And the lesson is that Jesus Christ can raise the dead regardless, which serves as a reminder. Again, all of these are types of salvation. And the reminder is that Christ can save a sinner no matter how old he or she is, no matter how young he or she is, no matter how deep in sin he or she may be. And certainly the most profound miracle of all the miracles of Christ, the most profound that he performed, were those in which he brought the dead to life. These were greater than healing a leper. These were of greater magnitude of healing the blind or the paralytics, raising the dead. And these, of course, are even more of a picture, a type of salvation. So the first thing we want to notice here in Luke chapter 7, there is a great need presented to us. We see that again in verse 12. This dead man is being carried out. He's the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. There are three things that these words tell us. First of all, she had already had a sorrowful past. She had already experienced sorrow in her life. This was not the first time that she had experienced sorrow. This was not the first time that she had experienced death. This was not the first time that she had experienced the death of a loved one. This is not the first time that she went to the cemetery to bury a loved one. We know that because we read that she was a widow. So she had already experienced, we don't know how long in the past, but she had already experienced the death of her husband. She no doubt had already experienced the funeral of her husband. So this woman was not a stranger to sorrow. She was not a stranger to death. Now, when her husband died, that left her and her son. We see that he was the only son of his mother. That left her and her son. So she had not only a sorrowful past, now she has a painful, sorrowful present. Again, in verse 12, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. So once again, she is faced with the death of a loved one. Once again, she is attending the funeral. This time of her only son. Death, of course, when a loved one dies, is a heartbreaking thing. But there's something about the death of a child that is just different than all other deaths that a person may experience. That does not take away from the sorrow of losing a spouse or anybody else as far as that matters. But there is something different about when an individual loses a child to death. This woman, again, having already experienced the death of her husband, now experiences what many would consider to be the unspeakable, the death of a child, her only son. Now, verse 12 draws us a picture. We see that there is much people. They are on their way out the city of Nain, or in the outskirts of Nain. They are carrying a coffin, and what we have here is simply a funeral procession. It is a heartbreaking scene. It is a very pitiful scene. It is a scene filled with lamentation. Keep in mind that coming from the other direction is a group of people that's rejoicing, and they're filled with hope. They have experienced the healing of an individual. The centurion He's as happy as can be at home. His servant has been healed. But while one servant is healed, a woman's son dies. And again, you may rejoice. You get good news about someone's surgery. You get good news that someone has been healed. But don't forget, while you're getting that good news, somewhere in the world, someone is getting bad news that the surgery didn't go so well. Someone is getting bad news that the sickness is not going to get any better. So there's good news, there's bad news. Again, the lesson is we have to learn not to live in our own little world. We have to realize that there are other things happening. So we have this group of people carrying the casket, no doubt trying to comfort this woman. It is a scene of distress. It is a scene of misery. It is a scene of agony and grief and pain, disappointment, and affliction. And again, I've been to countless funerals, but there's something different about the funeral of a child. Something far, far different. So this woman was experiencing great pain, great suffering. She also, humanly speaking, did not have much of a future. We see in verse 12 again, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Already a widow, and now her only son, which in those days means her only means of support. We don't know how old this individual is. We do know this, that Jesus referred to him not as a lad, referred to him as a young man. She was a widow. Her only means of support is now gone. Humanly speaking, her future appears to be one of loneliness. Her future appears to be a life of poverty and a life of hopelessness. What we have here is a woman who is in dire straits. Her need is desperate. Her need is urgent. And we see coming from the other direction is the remedy for all that ails her. Again, Jesus did not go to the centurion's house. You may say, well, the reason he didn't go there is because the centurion didn't feel worthy of him coming in the house. That's not the reason. It's true, the centurion did not feel worthy. But did not Jesus know that this widow woman, this funeral procession would be coming? There was no time to go to the centurion's house, because had he gone to the centurion's house, he would have missed this funeral procession. The Lord does everything in his time. And his time is perfect. Don't ever, ever question the Lord's timing. But just simply rest assured that it couldn't have happened at a better time. It couldn't have happened at a better time. This funeral procession, as sad as it was, could not have happened at a better time. because it was at the very same time that Jesus was coming from the opposite direction. We see this all through the Word of God. The Lord's timing. The Lord's timing is wonderful. It's marvelous. It's magnificent. It manifests, it exalts the sovereignty of the Lord. And though you and I may not understand the Lord's timing, don't be upset about the Lord's timing. Because I guarantee you, there couldn't have been a better time. There couldn't have been a better time. So we need to just trust the Lord in that. So what is recorded here, we have this funeral procession. What is recorded here, of course, is all the result of sin entering into the world. Were it not for sin, there would never have been a funeral procession. Everything in our world that is decaying, all the disappointments, all the weakness and all the sadness and all the pain and all the trouble and all the discomfort and the fear and all the confusion. These are the terrible and horrific results of sin. These are all the results of sin entering into the world. This is why we have the needs that we have. But that being said, we see there is a solution. And that solution, of course, is Christ. So we have the funeral procession going one way. We have Christ and the people that are with him coming in the other direction, and the two meet. And that brings us to what Christ did on this occasion. Though this widow woman had much people with her, each step of that funeral procession brought this widow woman closer to the cemetery. Each step brought her closer to the moment that she would bury her only son. Things are not looking good. Each step of that funeral procession brought her closer to a very dreadful moment, the burying of her son. And each step brought her closer to that. Now we're told here that there were much people of the city with her. Why were they with her? They were with her because they cared. They were with her because they desired to be a comfort, because they desired to be a blessing to her. They desired to bring some relief to her. And the Lord has set it up that way. We see in John 11 with the death of Lazarus, Martha and Mary, we see they had a multitude of people around them to help them in their grief. But no matter how badly these people wanted to help, each step brought them closer to that moment where this woman would have to bury her son and eventually walk away from that grave. No matter how many people were with her, they could not prevent what was about to happen. They couldn't prevent it. Man can only give so much comfort. If all you have is the comfort of man, you don't have much. You need much more than that. You need much more than that. And that does not take away That does not diminish the comfort of man. But we have to realize that there is a comfort that is far, far greater than any comfort that man can give. So each step is bringing this woman closer to the cemetery, closer to the moment where she would bury her son, closer to the moment where she would walk away from that grave. But also, each step of that funeral procession brought her closer, unbeknownst to her, to a life-giving Savior. Notice in Isaiah 65, and we'll close. Isaiah 65, verse 1 and verse 24. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. How true with this woman. Only thing she has on her mind is she's going to the cemetery. I was found of them that sought me not. And how was he found? Because he brought himself to where they were. Verse 24 of Isaiah 65. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. So we see Jesus now meets this funeral procession. And we'll continue next week to look at what Jesus did when he met this procession. Let's look to the Lord.